The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today's October 22nd, 2014. We're sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company here in upstate New York, where we're not the biggest, we're the best. And our motto is, we don't try, we succeed. And today we've got our special guest, Logan Christopher, who comes on every other week. He owns, he's part owner with his brothers in Superman Herbs, and he is the proprietor and owner of Legendary Strength. But before we bring Logan on, and we're going to talk about visualization. If you listened to the show a couple weeks ago, we just started talking about that at the tail end, and we're going to really get into that today. But today I've been reading a lot of stuff, especially from the old Milo magazines. This was from 1994. On our previous show we did today with Steve Helmicki, I gave a quote from Doug Hepburn, who's one of my favorite strongmen. But I'm going to give you a little quote today from John McCallum. He wrote a story called Concentration, and it's an excellent story. If you can get a hold of 1994, it's April of Milo, I'd highly suggest it. And this is what he said. Bad habits can be eliminated, memory improved, confidence developed. That's just our little quote for today. Think about that, and I would highly suggest get that issue. So, Logan, welcome to Motivation and Muscle, brother.
I'm glad to be back.
Glad to have you here. So, last week I was telling everybody how we got into visualization a little bit near the tail end of the show, and we were going to pick it up today because it's a topic that everybody's interested in. Everybody wants to know how to get to their goals, how to attain them, and really the big question is, does this stuff work, and how do we learn to apply it? So let's get into it right away. When did you fall? I mean, you've been training for quite a while. We know that, like everybody on the show. When did you first – was it a book? Was it something you heard? When did you first discover, let's say, visualization? We'll call it that like we were going to.
Right.
When did that – go ahead.
It's hard to say when I first heard about it. I can tell you when I first really used it and the results that it – brought. I was working on doing a freestanding handstand, and I'd been really playing around with this move for somewhere between 1 year and 2 years. I was, you know, at times I was a little more consistent, at other times not so much, and it's a tough move to do, and I was also not very smart in how I was approaching it. Since that,
yep,
that time, I've learned a lot more about how you should have a better progression, more step-by-step thing with the handstand. But anyway, after a period of time, I got really frustrated with my lack of progress in the handstand. So, you know, I did the proper steps of goal setting. Like I set a deadline. I got really committed to doing it. So in addition to practicing every single day in the morning, before that, I would spend a little time visualizing myself being successful in doing the handstand. Ultimately, it came down to the day of my deadline, the last day. It was like August 31st or something like that. And literally, I was getting close. The goal was a 30-second handstand. I was in the 20-second range. I was visualizing every morning and practicing on that last final day. You know, I spent a little extra time visualizing. And then when I went out there and practiced, I hit a solid 30-second freestanding handstand.
Killer, man. All right, so obviously you set a goal, you rehearsed and everything, but take somebody that's never done visualization and walk them through the steps that you had to do either for the handstand or for anything that you've completed as a goal. Because I think most people think this, that, okay, I'm going to think about it and it's just going to happen. And you and I both know that isn't the case. Obviously, you do have to put a lot of thought, but you want to see this in your mind's eye.
Mm-hmm.
So walk us through just, you know, step by step, and pretend you're talking to somebody here for the first time that doesn't have a clue. They've read about it. They've tried it. It doesn't work. Give them your version how you would train somebody to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me preface this by saying back then I knew almost nothing about visualization. Okay. But even if you do a lot of things wrong, if you consistently do it, you will tend to get some results from it. Here's one thing to keep in mind. Visualization by itself is a skill set. The more you practice, the more you work with it, and there's lots of different ways of using it, the better you're going to be at it. And actually, that's going to in turn mean you can get even better results from doing it. I just want to talk about one study before I get into the details. It was They were looking at trampolinists, people jumping on trampolines, and this study was pretty cool. It was by a person named Ann Isaac. She actually split people into two different groups. So this study actually looked at people that were good at visualizing versus people that weren't good at visualizing. And it was actually several different groups. In addition to that split, she had people that were already good at being on the trampoline and people that weren't so much. And what she found was the people that were better at visualizing got even better results than the people that weren't so good at visualizing. So by learning the things we'll be talking about here today, it's going to increase your visualization skills, which in turn means you can use it to increase your exercise, your fitness, and other skills as well.
Okay. So lead us through the valley here. Let's see what we got.
All right. The most simple way to visualize is literally just see yourself doing the exercise you plan on doing. So with the handstand, I always practiced it in the same place back at that time. So you're going to see the environment around you. Generally, when you're working with an exercise, we talked about this a little in our last interview together. When you're doing an exercise, if you really want to sort of wire that skill into your body, you're going to want to be associated into the picture. So you're seeing it just like you're actually doing it from your own eyes. So I would just visualize myself in that environment, kicking up into a handstand and being able to hold it. And so during that time, I'm visualizing actually just seeing the ground, which is what happens when you're actually in a handstand there, and just holding that and being able to make the corrections that I needed to hold it for 30 seconds.
Okay. So basically, an easy way to say is we're creating a movie, right? We're making a movie in our mind.
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing, just beware with that term, you want to, in this case, see it from your own eyes, not watching yourself as if you were actually watching a movie.
Yep.
Just because those give little different things. You can certainly do that, and that would be one thing I recommend to improve your skills with visualization, be able to see from the outside view as well as being inside your body. Each of those are going to give slightly different benefits. And I would say ultimately with like this handstand, doing both of those would definitely help.
Oh, I'm sure it would. Here's another question too, and I'm a big believer in this. I think now, correct me if you do it differently, if I'm not right here, but I know in my own instance here with it, like we talked about, I always use the end result and come backwards.
Mm-hmm.
But what I found with anything like that is you have to learn to quiet your mind. You have to. What I did to initially start doing this was I started sitting somewhere very quiet, preferably on the floor with my back against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I would close my eyes, and I would try to quiet my mind. And what I would try to do is start to learn how to visualize. And it took me a little while to do it. I could get like fragmentations of pictures or try to get smells, whatever. But it took me a little while. But the only way I could do it, literally, was I would have to quiet myself. And you and I both know when you sit and try to be quiet, a lot of times things that happen during the day, things that could have happened 10 years ago are going to try to pop in your mind and you got to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, literally to begin any of this, I had to learn how to quiet my mind and somewhat be by myself, you know, because you can't do things like that if you got all kinds of noise around you. You have to be able to concentrate, and it's like a relaxed concentration. You have to kind of draw the tension out of your body and just kind of like relax the muscles and try it. Would that be I mean, is that how you've done it before, Logan, or not?
Yeah, I would agree that definitely helps being able to relax, to screen out other external distractions that are going on. Certain people seem to be better at that, you know. Noises sure. around don't bother them as much. Other people, that they can't concentrate if you have that. I would say, yep. while you may have a natural predisposition one way or another, that's also a trainable skill to be able to screen out those external distractions. If I'm going to really like sit and do, you know, a meditation or a visualization that's going to take a fair amount of time, then yeah, I will be sure to relax my body. I use some basic mm-hmm. forms of hypnosis, autogenics, different things like that in order to support that. But I'd say the easiest way for people to really start practicing visualization and in a place where you don't need to concentrate for minutes on end is just really do an exercise, then visualize yourself doing an exercise, do the exercise again, visualize yourself doing it again. Just really use visualization before each set that you do with an exercise, because when you do it like this, let's go back to the handstand example. So I'm doing this. Okay. So I visualize myself doing a handstand, and really, if you combine it in this way, you're going to be able to get the most realism out of your visualization as possible, because you're just going back and forth between imagining it and actually doing it. So I visualize the handstand, I go and actually do a physical handstand. Then I visualize once again, I'm able to, okay, this time I noticed one quality that I didn't notice before and how it looked or how it felt. So you're able to add that into the visualization. And by doing this back and forth, you're able to build that skill in visualization and at the same time assist you in better doing the exercise you're doing.
Well, I do that between exercises too. I mean, you know, like I'll take the squat, for instance, and I think we talked a little bit of that, about that mm-hmm. a few weeks ago on the last show. My power rack is at the very end of the garage, so I'll stand in between sets and just stare at the weight on the bar. And I'll close my eyes and I'll do a number of deep breaths, mainly through in through the nose, out through the mouth. Try to really clear, especially, you know, when you're doing stuff like that, you're generating a lot of lactic acid too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to go to the areas of my body right now that have been hit very hard, and trying to visualize myself as, you know, it's not there. You know, we know we've just did a hard set, but we know we've got to get in the hole and do it again. And what I try to do is I try to go to those trigger points, so to speak, clear them out if I can, while at the same time, you know, I will open my eyes and keep staring at that bar, close them again, do the breathing through the nostrils, out the mouth, a concentrated breathing, try to have a somewhat relaxed feeling until I get underneath that bar, swallow my last breath, and execute with just precision and explosion. And that bar is either coming up or it doesn't come up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. So that's kind of like how I attack my in-between sets. And I've been very successful with it. Not 100% all the time. Who is? But the bar goes up more than it doesn't, and so I feel that works for me. I don't know if that would work for everybody else, but that's the way I visualize things, because I have to have, when I do things, you know, like you're talking about doing a handstand, so you got a fixed idea, a fixed look in your mind, I'm sure, mm-hmm. of how you want this to execute. I have to do this, you know, it's just like dress rehearsal, man. It's like I have to be able to look at that bar, the weight on it, and just execute that in my brain. Whether I can see the full movement or not, I don't always see everything 100%, but I can tell you this. I can see myself wedged under that bar after the breathing technique. I can feel myself with my hands gripped around that bar. And the next thing I know, it's almost like there's a voice in my head that says, explode.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. At that point, I execute the lift, and the lift is either complete or I don't move it.
Yeah. Well, that, what you're saying there brings up some very important points for visualization. We really interact with the world through three main senses: what we see, what we hear, and what we feel. Of course, there's also smell and taste, but, you know, those generally aren't the most useful things within the gym. Certainly if...
Right.
If,
well, unless you got a stinker next to you, man, but yeah.
I'm not recommending anyone go lick their barbell in order to...
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Every person is going to have a dominant sense. They're going to be more visual or more auditory or more what's known as kinesthetic, having that feeling or that tactile sense. So each person seems to have a dominant one of these and also a sort of a secondary one and then one that's generally pretty weak. And this changes among different people. Here's one thing that's also important. A lot of people that actually enjoy exercise, they tend to at least have a fairly strong kinesthetic sense because they like movement. So it kind of makes sense. But if you want to really be good with visualization, you're going to have to incorporate all of these senses together. So like I said in our last call together, visualization is a bit of a misnomer. A better term would be like multi-sensory imagination because you want to include all of these different senses in there. So the better you can visualize things, that's important. You just mentioned you like hear a voice explode. So incorporating that auditory component, a lot of people that I've worked with myself, and also I've noticed when I'm doing visualization, a lot of time that sort of information is deleted. It's not the most important thing for exercise. I mean, when you compare it to the felt sense and the visual, but really if you're not using that in there, you're sort of deleting, you're not using a part of your neurology. If you can include that in there as well, then that's going to help to access more of your body. So really, Really working to bring in all of these senses on a strong level, which once again, it takes practice to be able to do this. You know, some people can close their eyes and visualize and just see everything easily as if it was had their eyes open. Other people, they may just have like fleeting images. So once again, it comes to practicing these things as well as some natural abilities you may or may not have. But by bringing in all the senses, that's going to be one of the most important things for really having successful and useful visualization.
No, I agree. And, you know, the reason why I have that voice going off with the explode is this. I try to shut the world off around me because, you know, I am outside. There's going to be, you know, you can have distractions. That's the point. I mean, whether I've got something musically playing or it's silent, it's never quite silent, and that's why I concentrate with a word. It might not always be that. It could be something else, you know. But what I find with that is that seems to turn the switch on totally because at that point, I've already rehearsed somewhat what's going to happen. I mean, you hit it on the head. Some people, and this goes for me, there's times where I can get a lot of fragmentation in front of me, so to speak, where I'm not seeing the full lift complete. I'm seeing me under there. I'm hearing the word. I might see myself just momentarily come a quarter of an inch off those rods, but I don't always see the whole film, so to speak. And I'll tell you why, too, I think. You know, we all lift very hard. We all have our different ways how we do things. You know, some people set their feet. They have to have that a certain way. Some people turn their toes in like I do, spin them back out underneath the lift. Some people stamp their feet, et cetera, et cetera. There's just certain things, we can call them rituals, whatever it is, but it sets the tone. It tells your nervous system, your body, okay, we got something going on, it's time to activate here. But what I find with me, why I think at times I get fragmented with things is this. You're kind of at a fever pitch, and I don't care if you're trying to relax yourself and go. You want to get in there. It's like, you know, it's like getting into a fight somewhat. It's like you want to get in there, you calmly want to execute, but you want to be able to complete whatever you're doing. And I think that's what happens with me at times. I get very mixed up into the whole thing, you know, and you're going to be. I mean, you know, if you've got 500-600 pounds on your shoulders and you're coming dead stop out of the hole with your buffalo bar or whatever the hell you're using, there could be a tendency to, I almost call it, it's like a mind shift with me. Like, there's so many things going on with me that's why I think I fragment a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, what you're talking about, sort of the setup in NLP terms, neuro-linguistic programming, where I've learned a lot of this stuff to really work with visualization. That's called anchors or anchoring. Yep. And this can be those just simple things like setting up the same way every time or saying to yourself, explode out of the bottom of the hole, that really summons the energy, the state that you need in order to be able to lift away. What we're talking about here also goes back to what we talked about last time, how different exercises really need different states, you know. The same sort of approach you have for, you know, squatting heavy out of the bottom of the rack is fairly different from holding a freestanding handstand. And thus, actually, your visualization for these things will sort of reflect that difference as well. Yeah. There's certainly a lot of commonalities in them, but you can also tailor this one way or another for what specifically you're trying to do.
Let me ask you this, because this will be interesting, because I'll tell you too. Visualization, what do you think, if you had to name three exercises that you feel that you've got the most bang for the buck with and you like visualizing with the best, what would they be?
That's a very interesting question. The first thing that snapped into my mind might be a little different than most people would think of is actually using this with a bit more of an endurance exercise. Quite a few years back, I set a goal to do 300 kettlebell snatches with the 53-pound kettlebell in 10 minutes time, which is pretty much like going full space with a moderately heavy weight in 10 minutes. It was a grueling test. I mean, if you go to Pavel's Enter the Kettlebell, the sort of goal for becoming a man is to be able to do 200 in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So I was doing 50% more than that. And I actually spent 10-minute stretches visualizing myself doing this exercise just over and over again to really groove in that pattern and do that while, you know, not under load, actually visualizing myself doing it to make it easier to do. So, it's kind of repetitive and boring to visualize yourself doing this, but by doing that, I felt I was able to get in the very refined, very fast technique I needed to be able to pull off this feat.
That's a hell of a feat, too, dude.
Yeah, it was not fun. I don't recommend it.
Let me ask you a question. How did you feel 2 days later from that? You had to be, like, busted, right?
Yeah. I don't think I snatched a kettlebell for, like, probably over a year after.
It's like me. Like, I remember as a kid, and this is how I look at it. I remember we were eating marshmallows like crazy, and I loved them, man. We had them over the fire, and I puked my guts out, and I can tell you what, I've never eaten another marshmallow again. Never. If we, like, I'll be over, like, my family's house, you know, for a cookout, and the kids love the s'mores, man. And if I see them, I start, like, I feel like I'm going to upchuck my lunch, my dinner. I leave the deck, man. I can't even look at them now, man. It's like there's just some things. But,
well, that's another good example of the anchor I was talking about.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want...
That's how our neurology works. Like, we can come to associate one thing with another so strongly that, you know, just seeing a marshmallow now causes this feeling within your body.
It's like, oh, no, not again, you know? So it's like, that was my own fault. Being a glutton killed me there. So, what other, if you had to name a couple more, if you want, what other things would you say that... you really liked doing visualization with that, you know, that you put that pushed you just like the kettlebell.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the handstands and all sorts of different hand balancing, I've certainly used it a lot with that. Here's one thing with visualization. I think it's going to, while it's going to help with all exercise, really where there's a higher skill component, you know, the skill that goes into doing a handstand, that's a bit more than doing a squat. Not that there isn't skill there, but it's more of a gross motor movement versus a fine motor movement. So anything where there's a higher skill level, this can be hand balancing, different sort of gymnastics or other body weight feats, the kettlebell juggling, all sorts of different things. Like, I think it's going to be very appropriate to do it very consistently with all sorts of movements like that.
Well, I obviously is a squat any type of pull is going to be a deadlift, because I feel that you got to brute things up, and it might not be as much finesse, obviously, as some other things. But I mean, obviously, to master your body weight, that's one thing I do with anybody that comes here to lift with me. As far as employing me, I don't care if you're seasoned or not. You'd have to be like somebody like you, or, you know, somebody that's done stuff, but the majority of people have never mastered their body weight. And it's a good indicator of how strong they are. Cause, you know, everybody's going to tell you they lift weights and they're strong. And you and I both know that's a bunch of bullshit, you know, most of the time. You got strong people, but the ones walking the streets, so to speak, the daily drivers, most of them got into it for recreational purposes, and you really got to retrain them. So my first thing I do with anybody for a while is they learn how to at least do squat pull-ups. I have a certain way I have them do long strength good mornings, body weight, and a lot of times I like doing, especially people check them out with coordination, breathing, is I'll have them do heavy hand walks. It would be a cross-country style skiing effect where – they would be walking, you know, good strides, and they'd have the arms straight out. They'd be coming up over the head, so the heart's getting some really good action, and obviously we can check them out that way. But to make a long story short with me is, I obviously for what I do, I love any type of pulling movement, you know, heavy, whether it's rack, whatever. And then thirdly, where I found visualization, I'm using it every day now to get ready for Iceland again and come back with the triumph this time. Especially with the stone, it is really, really prevalent that I get this thing. I'm looking at it as like getting your brain with a brand in it, like they'd brand a cow. It's got to be to the point where I want to be – say I'm outside washing my car, and suddenly that thing's flashing and playing off right in my head for no reason. I want that to become as natural to me as walking, all right? And that's important, because I want this thing to keep playing over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And I know at this point that I've lifted it and walked 50 meters, because the point of the matter is this, Logan, this thing – I have never come across anything that is so massive and really not made to be lifted. That's the point of this thing. Mm-hmm. And it, to me, it's like a rite of passage for me. It's my step over the line, even though I am a man, but I'm weighing this heavily on my manhood. And by this, I mean that I don't want to leave Earth until I've lifted this thing and walked at 50 meters. It's that important to me. Mm-hmm. So visualization for me right now has become probably more important than even the practice outside with that stone, because I've got to be able to wrap myself around that thing no matter what the weather, no matter how cold it gets, whether it's snowing on me, whatever the outer effects are going to be, they're going to be set at a minimum, because the inner effects are already there and they're ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you have a goal that much, then this repetition of visualization until it dominates, you know, unless you're really dreaming about something, you're probably not spending enough time and effort towards doing it. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Any of this stuff like that, I mean, you're going in a meet, you know, and you've been in meets and things like that. You know how important it is, but, you know, it's a little bit different when you're no longer in your own country. You're in kind of a strange place, a great place, but, you know, it's not like the usual routine. You know, you sleep in your own bed, you do your daily stuff, you know, you got a business, you're doing whatever you have to do during the day to keep things going. You're there for specificity, and the last thing you want to do is go over there and choke, or, you know, you get injured or whatever. And it doesn't matter, because, I mean, you made the effort and you put yourself on the line, and that's all well and good, but that doesn't serve up. I mean, I've been there a few times when you're coming home, man, and the finality hits you on the plane. and you're back in the United States, to be honest with you, you're kind of pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing you're thinking when you get off that plane, like we went in the Logan Airport in Boston, is like, I can't wait to get back. So already the picture has started again. And you got to go and get ready. And sometimes you got to go back through, cut, you know, like we do here with the podcast. You got to cut the audio, so to speak, and we've got to splice in some new audio.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm doing right now. The old audio's gone. The new audio's in. And it's like, come next, you know, spring, with everything going on, we have the good fortune to get back over there and complete this because – you know, there's another thing that's bubbling up on me, too. I had Andrew Carney on. He's a big, strong man from Scotland. So I talked to him from Scotland yesterday. And another goal of mine has always been to get over there and lift the Inver, the Dinnies, the Blue Stones, and the other one slips. It begins with an M, and it slips my mind right now. The Mezzies.
Mm-hmm.
The Menzies, I believe it is. And I wanted to go over there and do the whole circuit. So when I spoke with Andrew yesterday, he said, when you're ready to come over, get hold of me, and I'll take you around. So, I mean, this guy's the real deal. From what he told me, he's one of, I think, four that they've got written down. Like Kazmaier was one. I don't know who the other ones were. I mean, I believe he pressed the Inver for three reps overhead. So that's pretty nasty because that is a mean stone. And the point I'm getting to with all this stuff is the picture show isn't going to stop with Iceland. And, you know, it's almost going to be, well, all right, I'll present this to you. This is good. All right, I go to Iceland in 15. I destroy that stone. All right, I finally get my chunk of flesh there other than leaving it on the stone probably when it grabs my forearm. All right, so I come to you and say, Logan, I need some help, brother. I'm like, I got to be ready in, let's say, 12 weeks. I'm leaving for Scotland, and I'm not going over to lift one stone. I'm going over to lift, like, you know, the stones of Fiona and all that. So technically, I could be lifting five stones within, let's say, 10 days, all right? What do I do now, man? I'm very stoked still from Iceland, but on the other hand, I'm trying to heal up now from all the training. And let's face it, you know, that is a lot of mental beating. I mean, and not in a bad way, but you and I both know mind's fatigue too. What am I going to do at that point? I'm getting ready now for Scotland. How am I going to reprogram myself to override Iceland now?
Well, if you've just been successful in Iceland, I mean, that's a powerful resource that you can use again and again because you put in all that work, all that effort in order to get it, all that visualization, all that time spent, and you're successful. So just sort of reimagining the feelings or what it felt like for you, what you saw after you were successful with the event, that's going to really powerfully put you into a state that is highly successful. Then from there, sort of thinking ahead into the next stones and just how successful you were with everything in your past leading up to that moment and how you can now focus that energy, that state onto what you want to do in the future. So just seeing those new stones and doing the same sort of processes that really led to that success before, even though you may not have the same amount of time in order to get ready for that, you can still, you know, it's in your mind. There's really no time going on there. So you can play with it. You can distort time. You can speed it up, slow it down. You can do whatever you need to really successfully set yourself up for that next event.
Yeah, because I'm a big believer success builds on success.
Absolutely.
You know, and you know what I like too, to be honest with you, and tell me your opinion on this. I, in a lot of ways with training and when you're going after these feats of strength, I kind of like to have a short window to doing them because if you look, you know, I'll just make the analogy of last night. I'm not a big fan of either team in the World Series, but I do like baseball. Look, I'm a New York fan. I like the Yankees. That's you know, the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched most of the series between the Orioles and Kansas City because I like that there were two different teams. I always was a big fan of Buck Showalter, who's the Orioles coach, because he was a former Yankee. Plus, I love the way he talks. This guy is spot on, and he's no BS. And I was like, you know, I was really pulling for him. But on the other hand, both of these teams hadn't been in the playoffs for over 20 years. So, you know, here we got two young teams, and I couldn't believe it. Kansas City was not the better team, I didn't think. I think maybe they had better pitching, which usually wins. But on paper, Baltimore should have thrashed them, all right? So they get swept. And now the games last night, and I think it was probably a five-day lapse where no one was doing anything. And then, you know, they walked right into Kansas City's ballpark and handed them their head. And I don't mean they just beat them. They beat them decisively. And I guess the point, this is the point I'm trying to make, and you decide, you know, let me know what you think here. And that's what I just said about with Scotland. I think waiting too long, you know, 5 days, when you're hot, man, you're hot. And it's like you need to take that opportunity and get to the next one and keep going. Now, look, I realize the whole deal with advertising and, you know, I got the whole deal. But let's just talk it from the perspective of an athlete where you, I, or a baseball player could be sitting there and saying, hey, you know, I want to get back into the friggin' game here. You know, I want to get some skin with this stuff. What would you say to that, Logan?
Well, yeah, I agree completely with what you're saying. And, you know, all top-level athletes in pretty much any sport say 90% of the game is mental, right? I think that's equally true in strength sports, where obviously it's heavily physical. And this is why I love talking about visualization and other forms of mental training, because it seems very few people within our realm that are really applying this as much as they can. So for those baseball players, really, this kind of goes back to what we were talking about with the arousal levels. You know, you need to know when to psych yourself up. You need to know when to relax, and not only know that, but have some control over your body and your mind to be able to do that. So if there's lots of downtime, you got to be able to just relax and not be like, oh, I want to be out there. And, you know, if this and this should be happening, because that's really going to get you off balance. In a sort of way, it's going to put you into a state where you're not going to be as effective. You may end up depleting your energy just as you're thinking about things. So then when it comes time to actually act, you don't have the energy or whatever control you need in order to perform at a high level.
And that's happened to me a number of times.
That's happened to everyone, I think.
Well, yeah, because, you know, I'd be sitting at work, right? And at the time, I was an IBM systems programmer, and I'd be sitting there. And, of course, that is very heavily, you know, you talk about having to use brain matter all day, you know, when you're installing software for these big enterprises, plus the amount of reading, you know, whether it is off a hard copy or reading off a CD, et cetera, et cetera. And I'd start thinking, you know, about training, and I'd be sitting in that friggin' cubicle, and I'd be like, I'd like to get out of here right now and go home and just wreck stuff, you know? And you'd be like that all day, and then I'd go out at night, and I'd fall flat on my face.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I won't even repeat the words I'd use, okay? Yeah. But the point of the matter is, I think you get to a point where you psych yourself out, and then you're like, what the hell happened here? You know, I'm like, I've been wanting to do this all day. I come out, and I can't, you know, either I'm not moving what I'm supposed to be moving, I got to back off, or, you know, things just aren't going right. You know, I'll give like a for instance. I've had things where, you know, you do a dead stop squat out of the hole, and for the life of me, the bar's loaded right, and I'm coming off wrong on one side. One side's coming up, can't come up with the other side, drop it, bang. And you're like, you know, and maybe by the second or third try, you've lined up finally and it's coming off, but it's like, what the hell's happening to me right now? And I think that what happens is you do, you know, it's like lighting the burners, and you can only go for so long, and then they slowly but surely start to extinguish on you, and you're like, I just went down the tubes tonight when I thought I was going to, you know, move 100% of what I wanted to. So I think that's a big relation to that. And then I guess the next question is, and you hit upon it about a minute or two ago, why is it you think that visualization to a lot of these athletes, let's just go with the lifting community, Why do you think they think a lot of people think it's a bunch of BS?
Well, I think there's a couple of components of that. First of all, like we talked about, people aren't trained in how to visualize. So if someone tries visualization and they're, you know, doing a whole bunch wrong with it, then it can actually not only not improve the results, but secondly, actually, there are ways you can visualize that will make you much worse. So that would definitely not help someone think that visualization's something useful. Secondly to that, I would say that, you know, everyone's heard of visualization. And if they've heard of it, a lot of people think they know, understand, and use visualization, even if they're not actually doing it. It's really easy, especially in the strength sports, to just focus on the physical and not really back it up with the mental training aspect. So a lot of people have heard of visualization, therefore they think they don't need it. it's a good thing, but that seems to be the case in the vast majority of people.
Well, you know what I think, too, about it is this. If you've had it easy, so to speak, physically, and you have success, I think a lot of people are under the assumption that, what the hell do I need it for? And then, like, you made the point where, okay, I haven't done it much. You know, I've read a little bit. I've heard shows like what we're doing here, or, you know, I've bought some type of media that is telling me it, and I go and do it, and it doesn't work. So I think now it's a bunch of baloney. And what I found once I learned visualization, a lot of times when I, you know, you get under a bar, you pull a bar, whatever, there can be moments when you're getting ready to pull. I'll call it fear, maybe lack of confidence, you know, but you know you can get this thing. What I always liked about visualization was this, and I'm a big believer in this, with anything you do, I think you should always have a backup. And what I mean by that is this. By practicing visualization, whether it's like I was talking about a few minutes ago, where at times I fragment out a lot, or I can get the full picture and walk in, I think when you're having a day where there's possibility of failure, and this could be failure either from not recovering, it could be something that happened to you during the day, it could be something, you know, maybe you had an argument with your wife, your girlfriend, or you got some bad financial news, and I don't care who you are, you can be the toughest son of a gun out there. There are things that are going to affect you mentally, and let's face it, mental, physical, spiritual is all related one way or another. What I always thought and I liked about the visualization, it was almost like, you know, like when you're not sure how much something costs and you open up your wallet and you got like that 50 buried for special. I do that all the time. I keep it in a one pocket in case something happens. It's there. It's like the lucky card, man. All of a sudden, you go up to that bar, you set, you know, you bend over, you're getting ready to pull the biggest deadlift of your life. You're nervous as hell. Maybe something's happened, and then suddenly the light goes right off in your head, and the completion now is starting. The movie is rolling. You grab hold of that bar. You're all chalked up. You get your stance. You know, that bar's rubbing against your shins. Bang, up it comes, and you complete the lockout, standing lockout of that bar, and you dump it on the ground, and you're like, holy, you know what, I did it. So that's how I see that. It's almost like having a blank check in your pocket.
Yeah. What I'd like to go into is actually give something usable for people listening that they can apply to actually show just how visualization can actually instantly improve an exercise. This was the foundation of why I started saying how you visualize is more important than what you visualize. So I think to do this, it best be go through an example with you as we look at how you visualize a couple different exercises.
Absolutely. Hit it.
Okay. So what is an exercise you're really good at?
I like squatting.
Okay.
I really do.
Let's go with squatting. So go ahead and visualize yourself doing a heavy squat successfully.
Okay.
Okay. Now, what I'd like you to do as you do this is pay attention to the qualities of it. We talked about this a little last time. So are you seeing yourself from within your own eyes or outside, like watching a movie?
No, I can see it within my own eyes right now.
Okay, excellent. So then I imagine everything you're seeing around you as you visualize like this is life-size?
Yeah, I'm seeing everything that's around me in the gym while I'm looking right now. Basically, I'm staring right into the power rack right now with a loaded bar.
Excellent. How bright or dim is it?
It's like I've got super lighting in the garage. I'm right now, I'm fixated right on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, are there any other qualities that you notice as far as the visual part of what you're seeing?
Well, yeah, I've got stuff on the wall right now, and I can see a couple different things. My niece's drawing of the Hulk there, and I've got a picture of a strong man lifting Husafell Stone. So that's what I'm seeing right now. Now, if I look left or right, just out of the corners of my eyes, I can see just my equipment and basically the brick walls of the garage.
Excellent. So you have a very realistic visualization, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without a doubt.
Okay. So what do you hear as you visualize this?
Well, you know, I can hear the sounds outside. I mean, I'm training at night now, so there is a little wind I'm picking up because, like I said, I've got big arborvitae trees around me. I can hear there's someone that's got, what do you want to call those things? I can hear a wind chime.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you know, and at this time you'll hear crickets sometimes and stuff like that. And that's about it right now. That's what's surrounding me right now. But what I'm doing right now is I'm beginning to see myself start to walk towards that bar right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Excellent.
So, okay, go ahead.
Okay, so once again, you have very realistic sounds as you visualize this. How's the volume? Is it high volume or low volume, or is it just what it normally would be?
It's I don't want to say it's muffled, but I can hear it, but it's not interrupting me. You know, right, it'd be almost like I know somebody's standing there, mm-hmm. but I don't really give a damn.
Okay, so it sounds like we have very realistic sounds once again. The next part I'd like you to focus on with the visualization is what are the feelings you have within your body? So I'm not necessarily talking about, you know, like tensing yourself up as if you're ready for the squat. That may be a part of it, but can you feel something internally that lets you know that, for instance, you're confident in your ability to do this, that you know you're going to be successful? What do you notice along the
way? Well, I notice basically it feels like I've got an awful lot of adrenaline flowing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a nervous system kind of like in my stomach. I'm like, it almost feels like, you know, you're in front of a large crowd speaking, you get butterflies.
Yeah.
I know at that point when I'm like that, I'm very in tune and I'm ready to roll.
Okay, excellent. So what we've gone through here, just for people listening, is we're looking at something you're very successful with and breaking it down to what do you see, what do you hear, and what do you feel. Now what I'd like you to do is what's an exercise you're not very good at? In fact, you might go so far as to say what's something you suck at doing that you'd like to be better at?
Let me think. I tell you, you know what I'd like to be better at? I'd like to be better at picking a stone up and being able to go a lot further with distance. I mean, I'd like to be able to walk more than 90 feet with it without dropping the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'd like to do is be able to build up even more stamina with this thing to where, you know, you could carry anything. You know, I don't know if I would say I don't really suck at it, but it's just like,
but
when
it
I'm
doesn't feel as good as doing the squats, would you say that?
No, because you know something, it's a different animal. You don't have the balance, and the main thing, it's a learned technique where, you know, this thing is not really made to be lifted. I feel anything that you have on a balanced bar is very hard, and it doesn't want to lift either. But I feel your success ratio here is a lot higher. When you touch a stone, as you well know, usually you're going to lift it or you're not. And if you don't have the proper pull and the proper hold with this thing, you might walk 2 feet and dump it out in front of you, and I just hope you don't smash your feet in when you do it. So I would like to become, I don't want to say endurance athlete with it, but I'd like to become, I'd like to become, take the heaviest stone I could go with and just keep going.
Uh-huh. Okay, so what I'd like you to do is just imagine yourself, don't even worry about the picking up part, just carrying a heavy stone. Go ahead and visualize that right now.
Okay.
Okay, so tell me, what do you see as you're doing that?
Well, the main thing I'm seeing is what is out in front of me, number one. But the thing I'm seeing right now in my mind's eye is, am I going to be able to make this distance? Because I'm working on something that is new. I'm using something that's very heavy. And I'm trying at the same time to practice this and rehearse it in my head. When I don't want to say there's doubt with it, but being that we have not had a successful long run with it, that I in the back of my mind, it's like, how far am I going to go before I dump it?
Right. Yeah. There's that uncertainty. You said, you know, am I going to be able to make this? So it's not the same confidence. So tell me, as you visualize yourself doing this, you indicated once again, you're within your body, looking out through your eyes. Not necessarily, you know, you're probably outside carrying this. I'm not interested in the, like what you see, but do you perceive any differences in how you're seeing things, like difference in colors? Maybe things look brighter, more dim, or more 3D, or something like that, different than when you were doing the squats?
Well, to me, it's a little bit dimmer because I'm moving faster.
Okay.
So if we do like some, you know, picture yourself in a sports car going pretty damn quick, everything's kind of a blur. It's not blurry to the point, but I have a different mental drive here and a focus, because I know that I've got to take, say it's a 350-pound rock, and I've got to get down there as fast as I can. So there's many emotions going on with me right now. I'm emotionally fixated on getting down there. I'm emotionally moving as fast as I can. So when I'm looking at things in my mind's eye, nothing looks like it's just standing there. It almost looks like there's stuff shaking as you're walking, because your eyes and your body are moving so fast. It's like, it's almost like your train of thought can't see like the house as it's sitting there. I'm seeing myself walking past that house, and I'm moving, and it seems like the house is almost moving with me on my side. So things that are, I'm mentally trying to figure out and decipher what the hell's going on with me as I'm trying to hold this large object that is hurting me right now. I mean, I'm feeling physically, I'm being battered right now. I've got something heavy laying on my chest. I've got, you know, I've got steel driving right through my flesh right now. So I have a mixed bag of emotions that are going on, and they're not bad things, but you have a tendency to, okay, are we going to make it down there now? Am I going to drop this thing? This thing is causing me direct pain right now. Where am I going to be here now? Am I going to make the finish line or not?
Okay. So things are a little hazy as you're moving. Would you say the speed, I mean, you're moving, so that changes things up, but is the speed of this visualization slower, faster, or the same pace as what you're doing with the squat?
It's faster.
Faster? Okay.
Yep. Excellent. Way faster.
As far as what you're hearing, is it, once again, realistic sort of background noise, or is there any difference in the qualities you notice with that?
I can't hear a thing because I'm focused so hard on getting to the finish line.
Okay.
I hear nothing. I hear nothing. I'm almost to the point where my mind is shut down totally to get to the destination and move there. It's almost like that fright flight, you know, when you're like that.
Excellent. So already we've gone through a few things. Want to cover just one more. So you mentioned you sort of have this mixed bag of emotions, and you're feeling the pain. while carrying this. Does it have that same feeling of adrenaline pumping through the bodies and having those sort of butterflies in the stomach, or what's different about it now?
Not so much with the stomach, but the adrenaline's pumping, because something right now, the mind has picked up that something is overloading us. And it could perceive it as a threat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but what I see it as is this. It's kind of like we've got a love hate here. You've got something you love to do. You know that it's going to bank on a lot of emotions, because you know you want to get down there, you want to succeed. You're moving I'm moving at lightning speed here. I'm pushing my body to another realm. And at the same time, you know, with the way it's blasting on the body, on the other hand, the other side of the wall, so to speak, is this. It's enjoyable, it's a passion, and it has to be done. It's like putting yourself right out there and knowing that you take one more step, you just fell over a cliff. Mm-hmm. Chances are you're dead. That's kind of like how I'm running right now. I know that I've got to be very strategic the way I'm moving, because God help you, if you ever tripped and hit the ground, you'd be hurt pretty bad. But on the same token, I have to go down there like almost like a Roman gladiator, man. I've got to pick that thing up and burn. And so you're feeling multiple things going through your head and body, but it's almost like things are happening so fast. You remember I said I was getting like increments of stuff, pieces flying all over. It kind of feels like a car wreck in your head where you're seeing parts flying all over the place. But on the other hand, if I could come back down, I could take all those parts and I could make them all go back together again. So that's kind of like what it is. It's like a puzzle that's breaking and a puzzle I could reform in my head. So emotionally, I'm going through more shit than most people would ever go through in their life here, because the body is so engaged right now and the mind is so engaged, it's almost like I have confusion all over.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Now we want to play with just a couple of the qualities. So just to give us sort of a number, I mean, on a scale of 0 to 10, as you are visualizing yourself doing the stone lifting right now or carrying it, how difficult would you say it is? 10 being the hardest thing in the world.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's not really that hard, because I've got it and moved it. I don't know. I'll say 5 maybe. I see, the thing is, I feel at that point,
mm-hmm.
you know, okay. I'll just backtrack one foot there. When you're going through these type of emotions, when you're moving things technically, I mean, if you listen to the experts, all of us are nuts. We shouldn't be doing any of this stuff. You know, you're going to hurt yourself, the whole bullshit deal. But the thing right now that I would experience is this. For everything that's going on with me at that point, whether I'm feeling stuff or the mind is cleared off and then it all comes back, the end result is the most important. And when I'm at the end, so, all right, say I walked 110 feet with 300 pounds, and I mean hauled ass too. We're not talking, you know, a little walk in the park. We're talking an athlete that's weighing 300 pounds with 300 pounds in his arms that's coming at you like a blinding freight train. Well, here's how I would settle it. Once I've put that thing back down on the ground or whatever we're going to load that on to get it back, it's all done. Like, I can settle my mind that much. Obviously, I'm going to be very jubilant, probably let out a war cry, you know, and be very, very emotional in a way that, you know, it's like I did it. You know, I mean, I'm just, you know, like right now, I the world is the greatest place to me. You have that sense of euphoria in you. You know, they always say it's like, you know, what is it? The word when you got the good endorphins flying around in you. That's how I would see it at the very end of the run with this thing. And if I didn't make it, I'd still be probably pretty damn happy too, because I know I would have gotten further. And I think when you can capitalize on this type of emotion, this visualization like this, like we were talking, the success breeds and builds success. It'd be almost like, Logan, like I'm building blocks on top of blocks on top of blocks. So when we go the next time, hopefully my head would even be much cleaner and much more ready to take this on, knowing that I'm very close and I would complete it, and we'd start the next project for how much further we'd want to attain with the stone.
Mm-hmm. So what I'd like you to do just briefly here, because I know we're just about out of time, go ahead.
That's all right. Go ahead.
Visualize yourself carrying the stone once again. And okay. What I'd like you to do is make the what's moving around you just a little clearer. And as you okay. do that, you can feel as if the things around you are slowing down, even while you're maintaining the same sort of mm-hmm. pace, and bring in the background noise.
Okay.
Still focused and concentrated, but you can hear this. And instead of all these different things, the pain going on and all these sort of conflicting emotions and stuff, feel that sort of calm or
yep.
whatever, however you would describe it, that balanced feel of like just having a barbell on your back, yep. except while maintaining that, while you're carrying this stone for you, that same sort of just focused on a singular thing rather than all these okay. different things going.
Well, what I can feel when I do that is starting right from the beginning and walking down the driveway, I can see everything in my mind's eye. Obviously, I've got stones littered all over the place. I've got big, huge tires that I flip right around me. I can hear birds. I have big trees where there's tons of little, well, there'll be a lot. And they'll be out there squawking all the time. We got blue jays. We got sparrows all over. So I can hear this stuff as I'm moving. I can see the house to the left of me, my home to the right of me. You know, I can basically see right in front of me the houses that are across the street. I can hear the cars that are going by. You know, I can hear the kids that are outside playing. I can feel literally the sun beating on my face as I'm coming down. And at this point, I have a very clear sense of where I'm going to be, and suddenly all those things that were entering me before have dissipated pretty much to the point where it's almost like now I've created the fortune of being down there, and everything is going in sequence. So everything I see, I hear, and I'm moving the stone in a way where I all the other fragmentation is not there now. It's like it's almost like my mind has cleared itself. It still understands what it's doing, but these other little distractions that are going on with me mentally, which could cause me to drop the stone or not complete the desired speed and destination, are no longer there. So that's what I would describe to you.
Oh, very cool. It sounds like that would help you with the stone carrying. So the yep. next time we just did it mentally here, but oftentimes when I'm working with people, I do this where we actually do the exercise, and oftentimes they improve, you know, 10-20% on the exercise right then and there by making these small sort of tweaks with the visualization. So the next time you're going to be practicing the stone carrying, yep. make sure to do this and try to really, it seemed the sort of driver for you, get that same yep. sort of feeling you have when you're approaching the doing a squat, that sort of balanced feeling. If you can have that while you're doing the stone carrying, my sense is that would help you in being able to go further with it.
Well, and the thing is too, it's like, you know, from going in meets and things of that nature, the day of the meet, I don't want to be thinking about, you know, how long is it going to take to get to destination? You know, did I eat enough the night before? Did I sleep well, et cetera, et cetera? What I want to do is I want to be planted. I want to have that mind's razor sharp. No matter what happens, it's not going to stop the outcome, which is going to be the success we built over months and months of time.
Yep, absolutely.
That's awesome. Hey, dude, this was a fantastic show. Is there anything you want to add before we sign off?
I think that covers it. And really, I mean, there is a lot more that can go into this.
Okay.
In the future, just let people know I'll be publishing a book called Mental Muscle. That's actually published.
Go ahead. You're on. Say whatever you want.
Yeah, so,
Mental Muscle.
Yep.
When are you going to have that out, Logan?
That's going to be released by Dragon Door, so still sort of going through the process with that. Can't give an exact date, but it is coming in the hopefully near future. Probably, I would guess, early 2015.
Well, we'll have you on for that for sure, and we can get into all that if you'd like. That would be a very interesting topic.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to give all your information out, anything that's going on. You obviously gave out the new book. So hit it whenever you're ready.
Absolutely. Yeah, everyone can check me out. My main website's legendarystrength.com. Got all sorts of information, a lot more on mental training, but also health and nutrition. And of course, all different kinds of, strongman training, kettlebells, bodyweight stuff, lots of information on that site. And then also, if you're interested in the herbs, that's at supermanherbs.com. It really sort of dedicated to finding the best herbs out there that can help big time with performance as well as health.
That's awesome. Anything else going on?
Well, my strongman competition will be this Saturday, so we can recap that on our next talk together.
Absolutely, and best of luck, man. Go out there and saw them in half, you know? Get them.
Yep.
So that's good. So I'll give you our information, and we'll talk for a second off air. This is Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are Fiorello Barbell Company. That's www.fiorellobarbellco.com. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. We are on Twitter at Fiorello Eric. We are on Facebook at Fiorello Barbell. I'm trying to think, is there anything else? Oh, you can get a hold of me at Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.RR.com. My phone number is also on there. Give us a call. If I don't pick the phone up, I will call you back. I do that with everybody. We've got a brand new site for the podcast called Motivation and Muscle. That's AND in between Motivation and Muscle.com. It's gorgeous. And we should have up the brand new main site, Fiorello Barbell Company, today. Our man is Eric Relou. He's from Canada. He's exceptional. Great guy to work with. Best guy I've ever worked with. As far as this stuff goes. And he's an old IT guy too. And I think that's it. So Logan, thanks for being on the show. This was a real interesting topic today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I always love talking about this stuff.
Yeah, this is great. And, you know, this is going to help people. You're making a difference, and I think that's super.
Mm-hmm.
So for Logan Christopher, this is Eric Fiorello. Logan's going to be on every other week unless he wants to come on for, you know, he's got something big. He's welcome to come on anytime. So we're going to be talking to you soon, and, you know, we'll talk about Logan and how he did in his meet, and we wish him the best. Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time. Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time. Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.